Well, good evening, everybody. This is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor, and it's brought to you by the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I know that you can handle the truth. We got our 800 number back, so give me a call. 1-800-313-9443. We're going to be talking about exposing corruption and whistleblowing within the system and the consequences and the pitfalls of doing that. But that's nothing new to me. It's not my first rodeo. I've been doing this for a long time. Anytime I saw in my 39 years of police service, anytime I saw wrongdoing or corruption, I brought it to everybody's attention. And I guess maybe that's why there's not a whole lot of love between me and the LVMPD. Well, lately, as usual, the police department in any state is always taking a beating whenever they are being photographed and iPhoned, and only a portion of that videotape ever makes it to either mainstream news media or the secondary news media. And without any explanation, and the caption is usually in the negative against law enforcement. What's important is everybody needs to understand what it is about a law enforcement officer that differs from anything else. They take a solemn oath, or a law enforcement code of ethics, or an oath of honor. Most, if not all, police officers take this oath. And it's a pretty standard oath, and depending on the wording, it's that can change. But the general concept is pretty much the same. So, without any further ado, I'm going to read you the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics, which was adopted in 1956 in the Peace Officers Association of the State of California. This is the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics that I took when I started in my law enforcement career in 1974 to 2014. And the only reason that I'm still not doing it is because I guess the police department just had enough of me of exposing the truth on some of their wrongdoings. So, as a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice. I will keep my private life unsullied as an example to all, maintain courageous calm in the face of danger, scorn, or ridicule, develop self-restraint, and be constantly mindful of the welfare of others. Honest in thought and deed in both my personal and official life, I will be exemplary in obeying the laws of the land and the regulations of my department. Whatever I see or hear of a confidential nature or that is confided to me in my official capacity will be kept ever secret unless revelation is necessary in the performance of my duty. I will never act officiously or permit personal feelings, prejudices, animosities, or friendships to influence my decisions. With no compromise for crime and with relentless prosecution of criminals, I will enforce the law courteously and appropriately, without fear or favor, malice or ill will, never employing unnecessary force or violence, and never accepting gratuities. I recognize the badge of my office as a symbol of public faith, and I accept it as a public trust to be held so long as I am true to the ethics of the police service. I will constantly strive to achieve these objectives and ideals, dedicating myself before God to my chosen profession, law enforcement. Now, understand what my show is all about. It's exposing the corruption in local or state or federal government. I welcome whistleblowers. I welcome anybody that wants to try and bring to justice some of the wrongdoings that our government has perpetuated on us. And I would prefer to have like-minded people like myself, call in, because having a detractor, I'll just cut you off and that'll be the end of that, because I ain't got any time to waste on arguing with you about some of this stuff. Well, it seems like the latest flap now is the NFL, what is his name, Colin Kaepernick, with his sit out or sit down when the national anthem is being played. Well, folks, I don't know about you, but that absolutely disgusts me. It infuriates me to think that this country is great. It's still great. It's going to be greater if we get the right person in office. But to have somebody, an idol, as it were, on the football field, and again, it's a game, to disrespect the national anthem, the flag, our country, and everything it stands for. It absolutely infuriates me. And the fact that if I was to go to a game, an NFL football game ever again, which I doubt, and I pay to go and watch these athletes perform, run fast, catch the ball, and then to have them forcibly make me watch them disrespect the national anthem, well, that's a little bit over the top, if you get my drift. I'm not going to stand for it. And now it's caught on, and even youth groups are kneeling down, taking the knee, or sitting down on their butts when the national anthem is being played. But, you know, for them, they're just stupid. They don't even have a clue on what they're doing or what they're disrespecting. You got to bring the Pledge of Allegiance back into the schoolroom. We got to bring God back into the educational institution. And if we got to bring God back into our country, that's what needs to be done, then we need to do it. There's no more fooling around. We're at a point now that this election, and I've got a interest in that for decades we've been trusting these electronic voting machines. Well, how many times does it have to happen where it has been proven over and over again that these electronic voting machines and tabulation machines can be hacked and are hacked over and over? Do you know that there are 11 states that have filed a federal lawsuit against these electronic voting machines? We need to get rid of these things now and forever. Other countries in the world have done the same thing. They've banned these electronic voting machines, and they've banned them forever. We're not talking about something that we can fix or something that we can ensure that it's actually accurate and that every individual vote is counted. We need to make sure that the hacking ability of these electronic voting machines just will not happen again. Got to get rid of them. One possible solution. Now, it's pretty far-fetched for just on my word or several people's word and evidence that these machines can and will be hacked and give an advantage to a particular candidate or a particular issue. And it just isn't right, folks. We got to do this. We got to do it, and it needs to be done immediately, especially before this November election, this all-important election. We've been electing or putting in office, so we didn't elect them. These hackers elected them. We've been putting a bunch of crooks in office that need to be removed. The only avenue trying to remove an elected official from his office is a monumental task. The only way that I can see that the little guy has any chance whatsoever is in his vote. You got to vote him out. That's all there is to it. But you got to make sure that that vote is proper. I hate to even quote anything from Joseph Stalin, but in 1946, he made this quote that is so apropos. It matters not how you vote. It only matters on who counts the votes. And that is so true. That is so true, in, especially in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, I ran for sheriff the last four times. What I noticed was the two candidates that went to the general election, Joe Lombardo and Larry Burns, I noticed a little phenomena, and it's happened to several other candidates that are upset with what's going on and how this voting tabulation thing is done. See, at least in Clark County, Nevada, the last election, 2014, for sheriff of Clark County, Larry Burns was behind Joe Lombardo by approximately 3,300 votes. Well, this is at the early counting stage, I guess, when the hard drives and the flash drives are removed from the voting machines and then brought down to a central tabulation area, which, of course, is very closely guarded. The only problem is that the transportation of these devices or these flash drives or hard drives, who knows what happens in transport. But anyway, getting to the tabulation part, the count was, and who knows how many jurisdictions and voting places actually had their flash drives and their hard drives submitted. Larry Burns was behind Joe Lombardo for sheriff of Clark County by 3,300 votes. This was at the beginning of the count. Well, the count went off for several hours, and it wasn't until midnight or past midnight where the final count was finally tabulated. And lo and behold, guess what? Larry Burns lost to Joe Lombardo for Clark County Sheriff by 3,300 votes. Okay, so right at the beginning, when just a few hard drives are downloaded, Larry Burns is behind Joe Lombardo by 3,300 votes. Okay, this is all put on the public broadcasting network and another station as they're following the count. They're following the election results. But it's not the final results. It's the beginning election results. So 3,300 votes behind, okay. But at the end of the entire count, when all the flash drives are brought in and counted and downloaded, Joe Lombardo wins the election by 3,300 votes. Now, what is that all about? It's a mathematical impossibility, and I'm no rocket scientist, believe me, folks, but just think about that for a second. It was all arranged. And then they put safeguards in there that if somebody decides to dispute that, I mean, it takes an act of Congress to get in there and recount those votes re-examine it. And how do you re-examine something like that? My research reveals, and from credible sources, that these voting machines, just another computer, that's all it is, yet they have secret hardware that is installed where the voting machines are made. And guess what, folks? Those voting machines are made in South America. So South America has a company that makes electronic voting machines for the elections in America. Boy, isn't that just sweet? I mean, my God, we all know that South America is a third world country, and they live by bribery and extortion. And they're making America's electronic voting machines. Oh, isn't that just special? Well, a casual look around and you'll see that the European countries have all banned electronic voting machines. Maybe they know something we don't know. And especially Germany. Germany, of all places, banned it for life. That's it. No more electronic voting machines. And they just basically went back to their manual method. And that's what I recommend. Now, there's a few of us that are pretty strong on this. And we want to see these kind of machines removed from the electoral process. If a casual look at how these machines are being hacked and how these secret programs that disappear after they're activated and deactivated, and it can all be done by remote control now. I mean, the technology that I'm even talking about existed in 2007. There were several YouTube videos that had computer experts come forward and say how the computer voting machines can be hacked, what's needed, and the impossibility of anybody even finding out that the machine was hacked unless they have the computer codes. Well, if the company that made the computer won't give up those codes or maybe even destroy those codes, then how can you ever even check or verify that your vote was even counted? Well, that's what that's the kind of a big issue on what's going on with this electronic voting machine, and we better act very, very quickly. I have one suggestion, that is have an adjacent paper ballot system. So you'll vote twice. You'll vote on the, if you have to, you vote on the electronic voting machine, and you also vote on a paper ballot system whereby, and I would suggest the paper ballot system be the first one. You can mark your choices on CRT paper, and you'll get the receipt right there, and then you can take the receipt into the electronic voting machine and see how it works out. So that's your option. But it's going to have to happen before November. November is the deadline, and we've already have evidence of the DNC cheating and gathering votes that belong to another candidate and then showing them that they were the people that voted for them. Well, if you don't verify it, they can say anything they want to. It's all on who counts the votes. It has nothing to do with your vote, and we're wasting our time. We are wasting our time unless we verify that those voting machines are accurate. So that's something to kind of think about. I'd like to go on into the Bundy situation and the trial that's going on, and the Pete Santilli, one of the American Patriots that's been exonerated and cleared of all charges, at least in Burns, but he still has to face the charges in Nevada. And my recommendation is just do exactly what they did so far by subpoenaing the sheriff of Harney County and put him on the stand. Let him explain why he didn't do his duty, why he didn't protect his constituents. So, well, I see that we have a caller on the line. That'll be Doug. And it looks like we got to take a real break, and we'll be back, and we'll be talking to you.
Sunday morning ever, and Sunday's passing by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, work. Working for a living.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, this is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor. It's brought to you by the Republic Broadcasting Network. The phone call-in number is 800-313-9443. And we have Doug on the line. Doug, how you doing today?
Good afternoon, everybody.
What's on your mind? You got anything to report?
Well, we'll start with the open source stuff. Okay. Perhaps you saw the article in the Washington Post last week, or is it the beginning of this week?
Regarding?
And the Office of Inspector General released a report on the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms on their storefront operations that have gone on last couple of years. And, well, it's not like the Office of Inspector General isn't used to printing out reports on ATF. I think they have it on a template, and they just change the dates and the incidents.
Right, you're talking about the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, correct?
Oh, that's correct.
Okay.
And so, the report talked about the rather disappointing outcome of the storefront operations that they did. And what they would do is they'd come in and they'd set up something and a store, and then they would buy guns that were stolen. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was run rather poorly. And they cited incidents like a guy walked in and said, "Hey, I'm going to sell this gun, but I got to do some work with it first," and they didn't have anybody on the outside to follow him, to take the gun away from him, and he disappeared. There was another one where an agent parked his car, his work car, someplace in a store parking lot. It was broken into, and they took 3 semi-automatic rifles out. One of them showed up at the storefront, and they bought it, and the guy said, like, "I'm going to come back with the other ones," and they're like, "Okay," and they didn't have anybody to follow him, and he took off. And then they wound up, I think the OIG report talked about how the field divisions like to run themselves. They don't like to run, they don't like listening to headquarters, which is what got them in trouble when Fast and Furious from the failures.
Right.
And what they would do is, they have all these agencies have case management branches, and they're supposed to be able to peek because their reports are online on a database that they maintain. And they blocked them. The field division blocked headquarters from looking at it, claiming it was 6E material. So nobody in headquarters could read all the cases or all the reports of investigation to tell where this was going. And that's been pretty much, I think, picked over fairly good. But the storefront.
Well, how long has this been going on? I mean, this type of incompetence or sloppy police work, as it were. How long has this been going on?
I think this has been going on for many, many years. You can pick an era. You can dig up some old retiree, and he'll probably tell you what it was like then. I know I lived through it. Right now, they're bleeding people, and they can't replace them fast enough.
Why not?
And I think you have a general just disapproval of the way things are run now, and I think they're just throwing their papers, and I think they had like 375 retirements last year, and I think 75% were enforcement people, and they only replaced them this past year with 120. So you're looking at, let's say, around 375 or something like that, and it was like 75% led you to be over 200, but you only had 120 recruits pass. So you're down 100. And from what I gather, this year is going to be a bumper crop, and it's going to beat last year's bumper crop. So you're gradually reducing the enforcement staff, and I am told what they're going to do is they're trying to get people like inspectors, what they call, and those are the ones that go to the gun shops and they make sure all your bound books are in order. So they're trying to get higher regulatory people because I think they're afraid to go to Congress and ask for 200 funding for 200 agents a year for the next 6 years or something like that. The ATF has been a very old agency. Like, even, this is going back about 4 or 5 years ago, but I think the median age of the agents was 45. Mm-hmm. That's very old. So you, because ATF
45 is old?
Well, it's old for agents. you have to remember.
I'm pushing 66, and, I retired in 2014. So, it's kind of like hits me right between the eyes. When you say that 45 is old.
I turned 50 in July, and when I saw an AARP card...
For God's sakes, you're still kicking slats out of your cradle. So,
hey, look. my diaper stopped having yellow in it a couple of years ago, so I feel like I'm an adult now. But,
So, what do you think the eventual goal is? Are they going to fade out the BATF, or what are they going to do?
I think the way things are the wind is blowing. I think eventually, the way I've heard talking, they're pressing the more regulatory stuff now, and I could see a lot of the enforcement requirements being pushed off to another agency. One in particular comes to mind, if you know what I mean.
You're talking about the FBI?
Yes. I mean, they had meetings years ago where they sat down, and the discussion was folding the ATF up and what you would do with it. And the Bureau said, I'll take the responsibilities, but not the people. So you're stuck with, at the time, 4,000 or 5,000 guys, plus support staff, and what are you going to do with all of them? So I think it looks like it's a gradual progression. Once they spun off the Tax and Trade Bureau from ATF, and then went over and became, I think it went back to Treasury. And then you had the enforcement stuff, which was ATF. Well, now you see them regulating, just like going to stores and checking out stuff and making sure your magazines, that you say you have all the sticks of dynamite in there and the blasting caps that you said you did. Right. Otherwise, they haven't really done, they haven't done alcohol diversion cases in years. They thought a novel idea last year. Hey, let's go back and do tobacco cases. It's in your name. You should have been doing it. These guys look at upper management, look at this like gun cases. That's what they want to do. And they look at it like...
Well, there's another branch of responsibility that I understood that the BATFE
had, and that was for explosives. So you're telling me that the responsibility or jurisdiction of explosive and bomb investigations is going to somebody else?
Well, look at it like this. If there's an explosion, they'll both all go there, or whoever's involved, they'll go there, but let's say these two organizations, and they'll look at it. And if Big Brother decides, well, we think this is a terrorism case, we're taking it. The other guys can stand around and help, whatever they want them to do. They gather up everything and they take off with it. They'll fly it to Quantico and have it analyzed, and then it comes back. If they decide it's not a terrorism case, then it's sort of like you get the big bag of junk and they hand it to you and go, here, take care of this one. You know, and they give it back to the ATF guys. The way it was last, there was a big fight a couple of years ago, and the ATF management and the FBI management got together, and they went before, what was it, Deputy Attorney General for enforcement, and they had an argument, and basically they tried to cut the baby in half. So the FBI handles just about anything they want to. If they slap the T on it, then they get to take it, and the FBI and the ATF guys kind of got to deal with it.
Well, this is kind of disturbing, because I've also gone through a realization that the FBI is not exactly has all the integrity and honesty and trust that it maybe used to have, especially, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, the Robert LaFoy Finicum case up in Burns, Oregon, on January the 26th, 2016. Whereby Robert LaFoy Finicum was en route to a public meeting on a public roadway and was ambushed and assassinated and murdered as he exited his vehicle with his hands up. I don't know if you have you heard of that?
I have heard of that shooting, yes.
Okay. Well, who was involved in that? I mean, was BATF involved in that? Was the FBI, NSA, or a bunch of mercenaries? Who was involved in something like that, in your opinion?
I would say that was probably local law enforcement and the FBI.
Okay. Once FBI sticks their hands and their fingers in the pie, then ultimate responsibility and jurisdiction falls on them. Is that correct?
It should.
It should. Right. It should. Well, we have a murdered American patriot, Robert LaFoy Finicum, killed by and nobody's even fessing up to it. The FBI has leaked out stuff that it was some state trooper. And
well, my understanding when I read the stuff down here, in the Washington Post, it was that they had denied any involvement of the shooting, and then they found out later there were bullet holes that they couldn't attribute to the troopers. And then finally they turned around and said, well, yeah, we did shoot, but we're not going to talk to you about this. And they kind of ran away and hid. I don't know what happened after that.
Well, from my understanding, that there are several FBI agents that are under investigation right now. But again, that investigation, it started in January the 26th, 2014. And what are we looking at? 7-8 months later, and still no report, nobody pointing fingers, or who even really shot and killed Robert LaFoy Finicum. What do you make of all that? Is the FBI kind of like losing control now and just doing whatever that con artist in the Oval Office wants them to do, or what's going on? What's your opinion of that?
They are an entity unto itself, and they can outlast any president that they feel like. You have to remember, that's like trying to drag in the shooters of Finicum and whoever they are. That's like if you compare the FBI to a private company. That's like trying to go sue BP or Apple. Good luck with that. How much money do you have? Because you don't have enough to fight these guys, and
right.
it'll be a long, drawn out process. And
well, that's usually the tool of the government is attrition. They can wait you out. They can outfund you. They got lots of resources. And in the meantime, what do you got? I mean, what does the little guy have? He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have any money. Doesn't have any resources, and he can't spend years and years in litigation. So they have you. No. And especially what they've done to the American Patriots that were involved in the 2014 Bunkerville standoff with the Bureau of Land Management. They've put these 25, 30 other American Patriots that were there, they put them in prison, awaiting trial. I mean, how rude is that? You're not even convicted, and they've already spent about 7 or 8 months in prison, and most of it is in solitary confinement. What the hell has happened to the Constitution here? Well, is anybody paying any attention to it? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I was surprised that they kept them holed up this long without letting them make bail. But I would think that they slapped the T on them as in terrorists, and that's why they're able to hold them so long. And
so the Patriot Act basically really didn't help us all that much. It basically shredded the amendments, because that's exactly what it appears to me that they're violating. The federal government is violating the constitutional rights of these American patriots to a swift and speedy trial.
There was a lot of stuff that you know, you had a need at the time that created the Patriot Act, and people said, yes, Democrats, Republicans, yes, we have to go after these guys. And then you look at the ramifications years later of what it became, and I'll talk about the bulk collection of metadata, the data that the FBI was doing, or the NSA that was doing the bulk collection of the phone numbers, the stuff that Snowden brought up, and whether people accuse Snowden of being a patriot or he's a traitor to the country. You know, he exposed something that people didn't understand was even going on, that you had our agencies that handle it, outside intelligence, okay, global intelligence, working with an agency that handles domestic intelligence as well as outside intelligence, working together, which is not supposed to happen. And a lot of that stuff, well, that was the whole basis of that bulk collection. They didn't need to collect everything. They could have gone and collected just what they needed, but they were able to kind of grease the system where they got everything. And that is a different animal. So when you look at this stuff, and I've had my own arguments internally, and I say, you know, people will that Snowden was this and that, and he's a scoundrel. And I said, look, you know, you can say that initially, but once they started having congressional hearings and they started realizing, and then they started making adjustments to what the FBI was allowed to do, well, then obviously he wasn't that far off. And how much of a traitor was he? And you know, you go back into that, and people spend, you know, months on that, and I won't waste your program with that. But you see all that kind of stuff. So there are people that come out and do this, but unfortunately he's now learning how to say Das Vidanya, and he's living over there.
I don't like
vodka, so I'm not interested in drinking potato vodka, so I won't participate in that.
Right.
So there is a lot of the bending of the system that they can do. My understanding was that there was a bombing someplace in New Jersey before a 5K event for the Marine Corps. And I think a couple of devices went off. I don't think anybody was injured.
And at what time frame are we talking about? Just recently?
I think this morning. Eastern Standard Time.
And so was BATF invited to maybe investigate this, or did the big brother FBI take it over?
Well, my experiences in this realm have been the equivalent of, like, there's an accident someplace in a city, and there's a city tow contract, but there's several companies that have the tow contract. So whoever gets there first gets the job. It used to be that way. Now it's not. And now when the Bureau shows up, whenever they come, they slap a T on it, and they go, that's it, it's ours. And I can call back in a couple of weeks and have some other stuff that I discuss with you.
But I would definitely like that. This has been a very interesting conversation. Unfortunately, we have another caller that's on the line, Chris, and we'll be going to him. And thanks a lot, Doug, for calling in, and please call in again.
Take care, guys. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is Gordon Martinez with American Honor, brought to you by Republic Broadcasting Network. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. And we have Chris near Las Vegas on the line. Chris, are you there?
Well, yes, Gordon, good afternoon to you, and thank Doug for his commentary. I had read the same article myself yesterday.
Is that right? On what is it, the Washington Post?
Well, it may have been the Post. It was actually the DOJ's Office on the Inspector General that was doing an investigation, and it was related to the Fast and Furious so-called storefront operations, which are kind of like a honey trap, except they use guns, ammo, and false storefronts with agents and actors masquerading as the operators.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a little discerning to think that there's infighting in between these federal agencies that we're all paying taxes for, and that we expect them to follow their oaths and to do things fair and equal. But that just doesn't seem like that's happening lately. What's your take on that?
Well, Gordon, I observe that if we take Occam's razor, William of Occam, that is, taking away the things that are easily discounted and leaving us left, is what the actual factual circumstances suggest, is that the policies of these different, we'll call them law enforcement agencies, because they are private form for private profits corporate agencies, each and every one unto itself, therefore vying for precious dollars. And it seems to me that there are likely policies in place by this administration, if not previous administrations, which provide stipends, rewards, compensations for certain cases, and the completion of certain entrapment exercises. Entrapment used to be a strict no-no, although now it appears the government has given the FBI and other agencies the proclivity or the legal privilege, if you will, to do that if it's for a particular purpose that suits the government's interest.
Well, you know, you've just hit on a very, I guess, sore spot when it comes to any government agency being questioned whether or not they have the authority and the jurisdiction in order to do some of the things that they've done. And the biggie now is basically land and mineral rights and that type of stuff being leased to or sold to a foreign country. Land that's in minerals and property that's that belongs to the belongs to this country are being, I guess, maybe subjugated to other countries, and the people that are living there or own the property or have jurisdiction over the property are basically being framed. They're being framed and they're being thrown in jail, such as the Dwight and Stephen Hammond and the American Patriots and from Bunkerville and the others that went up to support the wildlife refuge occupation. So, yeah, so I think you're right in that who the hell can you trust nowadays, and where do you go with this? I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's a real conundrum. The courts are so abjectly corrupt right now. The John Paul Roberts has given the clear edict for them to basically do whatever serves their own self-interest or to protect the bar or the banks. And because of that, they basically said that just like Las Vegas is well known for being wide open pockets in the judiciary to buy the favor, influence, or the particular decision outcome that you want, if you've got enough green to line the pockets of the court, of course, the attorneys can transmit that money ex parte in camera or in some other bar, maybe outside the bar or their favorite bar, in envelopes or having correspondent agents do the actual transmittal, so it mitigates the direct relationship and has the appearance of not being related. And that makes for provide a corrupt judiciary and leading to judicial absolutism. In fact, the case that I had there, we've got J.C. Mahan, Vince Cam Fehrenbach, and Gloria Navarro, who have completely obstructed all forms of statutory and procedural due process, all substantial justice, no fairness, no opportunity to be heard, taken my money and basically did a bait and switch and offered an inquisitorial star chamber one judge type hearing with the defense, and I wasn't ever invited to have any adversarial participation whatsoever or to have my evidence heard or have discovery.
And I've heard this before, Chris. Yeah, I've heard this before. It has happened in other cases. The Feely and Judge Kepar case. I don't know if you've been following that. It's been on the front. Put on the front page of the Las Vegas Tribune, where attorneys in Las Vegas have dipped into a trust that was basically originated and is still in the New Hampshire court. How can that be? How can lawyers in one jurisdiction dip in and obtain money from a case that is totally in New Hampshire? How can that be? Isn't that like against the rules somewhere?
Like within a foreign jurisdiction where they're reaching out and expanding their jurisdictional authority? You're absolutely right. In fact, the problem, as I see it, Gordon, is that this so-called reliance on the presumption of truthfulness of co-bar members and right. the expectation they're going to tell the truth to one another is a very dangerous to the national security and public safety concept, because we know by watching Hillary Clinton and others tell abject, blatant falsities and lies on TV, have their stories continually change to get away with murder and all sorts of nefarious activities, and then have the Department of Justice and the FBI cover up for Hillary and throw her softball questions, not hold her to any true accountability, and to proclaim that there was not enough to prosecute when it was clear that there was plenty of reasons to prosecute, not to mention the criminality and the money laundering stuff that took place with the Clinton Foundation.
Well, you definitely hit the nail on the head with that, and you're absolutely right. But who do you go to? What is the process in order to correct this? How do we do it? My feeling is, and I'm a pretty simple-minded guy, is about the only thing that the little guy has in his hands is to vote these people out. Get the right people in and vote these other people out.
Well, we were told there are three possible solutions: the soapbox, the ballot box, or the cartridge box.
You're right there. I sure as hell hope we never have to go to that cartridge box, because that's going to get really ugly. It's going to be a bad day for everybody if we go that route.
Well, I think they've been trying to provoke us to go that direction. Whenever you flip the agencies of government that formerly had some elemental presentment of the interests of people and actually did some things to protect the people for a while, mm-hmm. and now they've become 180 degrees, and now they're being used to victimize the people, prey upon them, and predatorily rob, rape, and pillage and plunder, it makes it very difficult for us to make sense when there's no sense to be made out of a situation. And that mm-hmm. creates frustration, chaos, and confusion, and that's what breeds revolution, my friend.
See if you agree with my thought process here. Pete Santilli allegedly was a journalist that was up there at the Mare Refuge, Wildlife Refuge, and he was arrested. And he's been in custody now, I think, for about 7 or 8 months, in and Ooh. Out of solitary confinement. Now, just recently, all of a sudden, the court system says that they just don't have the evidence in order to proceed from the wildlife occupation. However, they exonerated him and let him go, dropped the charges, and then, but they added that now he'll have to face the charges in Nevada for the standoff in Bunkerville in 2014. So now, follow my lead on this. It's pretty apparent that the sheriff up in Harney County in Burns, Oregon, failed to do his fiduciary duties and failed to follow his oath and failed to protect his constituents when their constitutional rights were violated, especially with Stephen and Dwight Hammond, by having a double jeopardy type of conviction for the same crime. For the same act. I shouldn't say crime, because that's even under dispute whether or not they did in fact commit an arson. But if you let Pete Santilli go, and drop the charges, because you don't have any enough evidence or any evidence that would even withstand any type of examination. Now he's going to face the other criminal charges, you know, obstructing a federal officer and threatening a federal officer, and everything has to do with all federal violations. But in order for that to happen, the sheriff at that time was former Sheriff Doug Gillespie. He was the sheriff, and his lackey, who is sheriff now, Joe Lombardo, both had their hands in determining what was going to happen to Clive and Bundy and Ryan Bundy and Ammon Bundy and several other of the American patriots and supporters. Do you think it looks like I got music. We got to take a break, and I'll be back. Stay on the line, and we'll continue this conversation.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's...
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Okay, this is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor, and it's brought to you by Republic Broadcasting Network. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Chrissy's still there?
I am. There were some pretty big things that took place in that Bundy case this last week. In fact, part of them I think Tom LaCavera is going to talk about on Monday night on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Buddha Cavallari has had some apparent exposure, and he's going to turn state's evidence with the federal government to get out of jail. Of course, there were other related circumstances that Tom will shed light on, but I know that there were some substantial jurisdictional challenges by, I think the guy, the attorney's name is Mumford.
If I'm not I'm aware of that.
And, well, and apparently they're finding out that what the Bundys were absolutely proclaiming all along was that the federal government never had any right, title, or interest to that land on the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, because it was never ceded to them, and they just claim-jumped it. Claim-jumping and counterclaiming land is something that was notorious in the Wild West, but now the BLM whistleblower video on YouTube certainly suggests that the Harry Reid cabal, the Clanton gang, or Clinton gang as they like to call themselves, and other nefarious bad actors within government and the Department of Interior and the BLM and the Forest Service have been doing all sorts of private self-interested land acquisitions to felony criminal convert private lands that belong to we the people, administered by the BLM, supposedly, and convert to their own private self-interest, like the Harry Reid Cedar Family Trust and the Reid Family Trust and other shell entities for doing land transactions.
Right. I think the term proprietary possession was used in some kind of brief or motion that I was reading about what's going on in the Bundy trial. Proprietary possession, and that just basically means that the entity, the government entity that was assigned the job of managing the land and protecting it and doing all that, all of a sudden they've gone from being a manager to now an owner and operator. And that's quite a jump, but nobody questions it because nobody's paying attention. So go ahead.
Let's not radically diverse and remove from this concept of adversarial possession that some people are employing. Of course, now the county and the cities in some places are trying to convert those people who are trying to use that lawful means of acquiring unclaimed abandoned property and using it for own use under that adversarial possession interest and calling them squatters instead. Well, effectively, that's what the BLM was. And the Forest Service were squatters on that land.
Well, squatters would be complimentary to what the BLM is all about and what they've done. We've come to just about the end of our show. I want to thank you for calling in. And that was a very good, informative show today. And I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And so too. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope he comes back on the air too. So have a good one.
Blessings. That will stay.
Okay, well, this is Gordon Martinez with the show called American Honor, and it's brought to you by the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I definitely believe that you can all handle the truth, so I'll catch you next week, and everybody have a blessed one. Bye-bye.
Uncertainty has become the talking point when it comes to financial markets. One thing is becoming certain: safe haven assets. Hard assets are now becoming the choice of informed investors. The most recognized and valued hard asset is gold. The highest performing asset this year is gold. Trust gold to protect and grow your IRA or 401k. Central banks and billionaires are doing the same thing. Choose a more stable asset that has tremendous upside potential. As these uncertain times threaten the markets, your decision to reduce your exposure to these markets before further negative effects to your portfolio would be well-timed. Call 1-800-GOLD-IRA to transfer your existing IRA into an actual physical gold and silver IRA. American Bullion is the pioneer of gold IRAs. They handle all the details for you. Call 1-800-GOLD-IRA to get prepared. Start protecting and growing your IRA and 401k before the next crash. American Bullion, 1-800-GOLD-IRA.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.